He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
How's it going, my dear?
It's going great. Where are you?
I'm in Canmore, Alberta.
And I'm in Cranbrook, British Columbia, the East Kootenays.
Well, we're actually close by the BC border. You're not too far away yourself, but you're inside British Columbia. I'm just outside of it in Alberta, the province that I was born and raised. And what a beautiful spot here. We're going to talk more about being here where we are, but is the sun shining for you?
It certainly is. I was out there this morning at 9 o'clock working on my computer, and I said, I better go put my bikini on. So I put my bikini on and, you know, stayed out for half an hour, and I actually got some sunshine. I think living in Hawaii gave me a really good base, so it doesn't take me too long to get some sunshine and showing it on my body. So I'm looking pretty good right now.
Nice. Sounds really good. Well, let's get to our wonderful world of SNU. He said, she said, what's cooking?
What's cooking? Well, on the road trip to Cranbrook, we stopped off in Osoyoos, which is in the desert part of British Columbia. And we stopped and we had a bite to eat, and I had this wonderful bowl of borscht. And I looked through the borscht and I wanted to get the recipe for it. So that's what I'm writing about, is beet borscht.
Yummy.
So this beet borscht is how you make it is when you want to start with some unsalted butter, some garlic, and some onion. What I want everybody to know is I am going to publish this recipe, and it will be on our website and also in the Vista magazine, so if you want to check that out for the exact amount. So what you want to do is with that butter, you want to saute it in the pan, and then you want to add like 12 cups of filtered water. Now, if you want to use a homemade chicken stock or a homemade beef stock, that would really bring out the flavor. But for those of you that don't want to have any animal products in it, I would suggest just using filtered water and adding some Mrs. Dash or some Spike, the original blend. Then you want to add in like a half a pound of peeled, chopped beets, a cup of chopped celery, a cup of chopped carrots. Now, the thing that makes this special ingredient is dill. You want to use half a teaspoon of minced dill, some sea salt, some crushed pepper, and about 3 tablespoons of red wine vinegar. And then you want to boil that all up and then till the vegetables get soft. And then what I like to do is I always like to leave the soup in the fridge overnight because that really brings out the flavor. Then when you put it back on the stove again, you reheat it, and then it's ready to go. And then, if you want to, you want to add like a dollop of sour cream to taste and then mix it all in. And you can always add more salt and pepper or some more dill. But it is absolutely delicious. It's a wonderful meal, and you're going to just absolutely love it. So why don't you try that?
Sounds really good. It's obviously high in carbohydrates. We've got celery, carrots, and beets. So low in protein. So the way I would serve this is with some type of protein on the side, maybe even a salad. I'd start with the soup, then I'd go into the salad, and then I'd have a nice lean protein. Did you have it with anything else, or did you just have it by itself?
No, I just had just a bowl of soup because we were traveling on the road for 12 hours. So I didn't really want to have anything heavy. However, I did have a protein shake that morning, so I did get my protein in. But I wanted to eat very light on the road. You're just sitting, right, and it all just pools. You don't really move around because we were on a time schedule, right? We wanted to get there before dark.
Yeah, that absolutely makes a lot of sense. And when you go to a restaurant, you need to be selective, especially when you're traveling by vehicle.
Well, I was surprised. This was a Smitty's restaurant, and it had a really nice, it was a very clean soup. And there are 100 different ways you can make borscht. So this is just one way of making borscht. But, you know, get into it. It's very, very tasty. Now, one of the things that you can do is you can make this a cold soup and not heat it up. And what I would like to do, what I do in some of my recipes when I'm serving them to people in the summertime, is I cut different colors of peppers, like orange, red, yellow, green. I cut the top off, and then I clean out the pepper, and then I add the cold soup to it. So it's a really nice starter for a summer barbecue, and everybody likes it. And then you can eat the pepper if you like. That could be kind of your salad.
Right. And then the other thing that I would omit myself, I don't really like the sour cream. It's too gunky and thick for me.
Boring.
So I don't prefer that, especially when I'm thinking about my abs. And I'm not an ectomorph. And the sour cream that you normally would have access to in a restaurant would not be of the highest quality.
Exactly. But you can buy some nice organic, hopefully raw, but good luck finding that. But, you know, it's just once in a blue moon. You know, live it up a little, folks.
Yeah, right on. Okay, so that's a good little soup suggestion. Borscht. What is the origin of that? That's got to be European, huh?
That is Russian.
Russian.
Russian, yeah, Russian borscht.
Okay, so that goes way back.
Oh, yeah, this is one of their staples. Beets, and then you can put cabbage in it. There's the, because we used to go through Grand Forks, where there's a large Dukobor community there, which is a religion, that they would have the best borscht I've ever had. And every time we would travel through Grand Forks at the Yale Hotel, we'd always have a big bowl of borscht with lots of sour cream on it and lots of that homemade white bread and butter. But that was years ago.
Yeah, well, I guess times have changed, at least for you and I.
Yes, they have.
At least for myself, anyway. So anyway, excellent. Okay, the other thing, too, about soups that I like is that it retains more of the elements and minerals, and you've got that great garlic in there, which is going to keep the immune system up and strong. So getting into vegetables and soups as a general rule, not the canned soup varieties that you buy in the supermarket, which are tainted and corrupted and altered and yada, yada, yada.
Even though they say low sodium, low fat, and they still have, like, preservatives, they've got MSG, they have to put something in it in order to preserve it. So I stay away from the canned soups.
Yeah, they've got to be homemade. That's the rule. And if they are homemade, soups are one of the best nutritional provisions on the planet. You cannot really climb higher than a homemade, incredibly nutritious soup. It's just outstanding.
Right. And as I mentioned, if you are a vegetarian and you don't want to have any animal product in it, then just use the filtered water and use the herbs and spices as your base.
Yeah, right on. Good stuff. Okay, let's move on to our next topic. Who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Anthony Imelda. And he was a wonderful delight to have on the show. And he sounds very passionate about his own personal health, as well as helping others to achieve wellness. And I think it's exciting to know that he has developed several nutritional products for hunters, fishermen, those type of athletes.
Yeah, he had a sports bar that he developed, which was kind of cool, and we talked about that. He's been in the industry as long as I have, and, you know, he comes from California, where I started my path in Canada, and we had a very similar experience, you know, meeting with mentors and learning the hard way, and we're self-taught, and we've, you know, we have the formal education as well, but most of what we have learned has come through our own experience and mentorship. So he knew a lot of people that I knew or knew of, and vice versa, and, you know, we both grew up as athletes and had a massive interest in health and nutrition, and in particular science. That's what I like about Anthony. He's really science-driven. He understands the importance of science.
Well, we were thrilled to have him on the show because we have heard his name, or I've heard his name, for years and years. And it's wonderful to be able to capture his expertise in a half an hour.
Absolutely. You know, and he was certainly one of the major players in sports nutrition. He and Ed Bird, you know, put EAS together, and then eventually Bill Phillips joined the team, and he, Anthony, remained a consultant to EAS for a number of years and helped pilot many of their studies that helped put creatine on the map. And I know that Anthony worked with Steve Neeson on HMB research, You know, HMB is a great product for improving VO2 max and for reducing body fat and for enhancing immune function. So, again, the whole idea with all of these products is to find reputable people who can report on them and tell you the truth, and it should be based on science. And then also, we talked in that interview about how few companies actually use any science at all to drive their marketing. So we really have to keep our heads up and our eyes open.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Anthony Imelda, for your expertise.
Right on. Next topic, CHI, Highway to Health Update.
Highway to Health Update. Well, as we mentioned previously, we're both on road trips and driving through British Columbia, which is a beautiful province, and there's no other place on earth to be in the summertime as in beautiful British Columbia. And I drove with my niece, Bobby, to Cranbrook, which is in the southeast of British Columbia, right on the border of the United States. And as we were driving, we saw some bighorn sheep, we saw mountain goats, we saw deer. So you really need to be careful because they do have a lot of signs that say, watch for these animals. So you gotta keep your eyes open. Even more so when you're driving.
Absolutely. Well, that's what we're famous for, our wild animal life, and lots of it, especially in BC, and especially as you travel north. Most of our population is huddled very close to the 49th parallel, but we have a huge amount of land above us to the north, and it's inhabited by large mammals. We've got grizzly, we've got moose, we've got wolf, we've got caribou, and here locally in Canmore, I've already seen the bighorn sheep. We saw them actually climbing on the Rocky Mountains yesterday. Robbie, my brother who lives here in Canmore, which is just over the border from BC and nestled in the Bow Valley, which is absolutely incredibly beautiful, but Canmore is populated about 17,000 people. It's kind of a resort town, but it's building up slowly. The Bow River runs right through it, and it's surrounded on all sides by these incredible mountains. They're just so stunning and majestic, and yesterday we hiked one of them. It's called Ha Ling or Chinaman's Peak, and it was about a four-hour hike, and it was breathtaking, and hiking is just stunning. It was a beautiful day. It was towards the end of the day. It doesn't get dark now until 10 or 11. So we just had a phenomenal experience. We hiked to the top. We could see the entire valley. You could turn around and see the Rocky Mountains going down towards the United States. Hundreds of individual mountains and silhouettes and the snow peaks. Just absolutely stunning.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. With the same thing here, as Cranbrook is nestled in the Rocky Mountains that are absolutely gorgeous. They really are breathtaking. And it's such a beautiful weather now. And everybody here has a pickup truck and an RV. It is the norm to have a pickup truck and an RV, and that's just the lifestyle, because around Cranbrook, there are hundreds of small little lakes that you can go camping on 10 minutes away from the city. So it's a very popular hobby that people have here is RVing. In everybody's backyard, they've got their RV parked or fifth wheel.
Yeah, I also really like this environment because there's a lot of hunters and fishermen, and there's a lot of wild game meat. Last night we had some elk, and Robbie cooked it up. Of course, it was rare, just the way that you like it, Trace, and the way I love it, too. And the only way that you should actually eat it, it was just, you know, pan-fried on each side very, very quickly, and then almost raw on the insides. And it was so absolutely delicious and so lean. I mean, the digestive quality is just absolutely amazing. We're going to try some musk ox in a couple of days. There's all kinds of animals locally. The moose is abundant here. And, of course, fish. There's lots of local fish. And I think there is, too, in the Kootenays, in the Kootenay Lakes, all kinds of fish down there, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. So I guess what you're trying to tell me is when you come back, you're going to be filled with a lot of testosterone. Is that right?
There you go. That's how you keep it up. pretty hard to keep up the testosterone on a vegan diet. There is a connection.
Exactly.
There's a connection.
You're going to be chasing me around the dining room table, right?
Well, yeah, I guess so. I haven't seen you for a while, so.
Well, anyway, something else that was exciting that happened was our nieces turned 8 years old. They're twins, and they had a really fun little birthday party, a pajama party, where they had 10 little 8- and 9-year-olds. So that was quite a task for Lisa, and we played a lot of fun party games. And our granddaughter, Olivia, came over to my niece's house, Bobby and Neil, and Neil, really enjoys as a hobby having such animals as the bearded dragon, lizards, geckos, and he's got 3 tarantulas. So when I was minding Olivia, that was our treat to go over there and have a look-see at some of these interesting species of animals. And she even had the opportunity to put the bearded dragon on her lap, and she was quite excited about that.
Sounds wonderful. What kid doesn't enjoy these strange animals? And there's just something fascinating in them. And sometimes it evolves into fears and phobias. But when kids are young, they have this natural attraction to different animals and insects. I remember Ruby really used to like digging for insects. I did too. Or you take kids on the beach and they look for crabs. And, you know, nature's wonderful, and there's lots to learn by studying animals. And I think that that's an important part of our behavior development, is just coming to terms with life, and insects is a simple place to start.
Well, what I think is interesting is that life documentary about the ocean and about wildlife. I mean, the one where Oprah Winfrey does the commentary for it, I think it's essential that everybody, men, women, and children of all ages, watch this program. Because you really see it's eat or be eaten. It's about survival.
Yeah, well, that's the way it is on the planet. That's the way it always has been. And with some modification, it seems like it's still that way even between humans. Although it's, I guess, more civilized, but there still is an element to that. We have to pay attention. We have to understand our environment. We have to protect ourselves first and foremost. And that's what this whole concept of health and fitness is all about. It's developing strength and agility. Like yesterday on that hike, the benefits of training really came out. I haven't hiked up that high of a mountain for a while. We did a lot of hiking in Hawaii. But,
and in Colorado.
Yeah, but I mean, not for a long time. So I wasn't
right.
used to the elevation. So
yes.
the
Your elevation is what?
Well, I'm at 5,000 feet here in Canmore. So we start, the mountains begin at 5,000 feet. So when you climb up them, you're getting to 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 feet. But anyway, the training, the actual, not the fitness, not the, you know, the fun and being active in the sports. And this is the whole point of training. Training prepares you for life. So I was able to come here and climb up the mountain and do pretty good and not really suffer like some people might who aren't prepared for it. And when you get to the top of a mountain, that's where the treasure is. That's the reward for the price that you pay of climbing the mountain. But, you know, the journey is also equal to the destination. But at the top of the mountain, we had sardines and carrots. And it was a plain and simple, easy-to-digest meal. But you really appreciate the purity of clean food when you're up there and you're cleaning yourself out, you're breathing deep, you've got the elevation, and the air is just fantastic, and you're surrounded by nature. It's just wonderful.
Oh, that sounds lovely. Well, where we are, it's just over 3,000 feet above sea level, and an exciting thing that happened to us was a little pussycat got stuck up in the tree. And I was just hoping that it would stay up there because I wanted to have some handsome firemen come and rescue him.
So what happened?
But that didn't happen. The next door neighbor's father climbed up the tree and got the little pussycat. So we all clapped for him, and that was a big deal. That's the big deal that happens around here.
Yeah, that sounds like a really big deal in those small towns, huh? You know what's crazy?
You better
believe. We went out pubbing last night after some fun in the sun and hiking, etc. And it's just the local people in these small towns, they are so friendly. It's absolutely unbelievable. The energy is fantastic. Everybody's into fitness and biking and some kind of outdoor activity. But, you know, everybody's up. There's a really great spirit here. I said to Robbie last night, I said, this is like Hawaii. It's like a Canadian version. Just like when we were in Hawaii, we found the environment, the people, everyone to be up all the time. And it's like that here. And I think there's a lot of value in living in a small town compared to the big city.
Oh, absolutely, because people have clean air. And I think that has a lot to do with it as well. And people feel more relaxed. I think the higher altitude has something to do with it, too. There's something about that high altitude.
Yeah, absolutely. It clears out your brain. People aren't as pretentious either, like just looking at the fashion. Anything goes here. You can go into the pub, and we just climbed up and down the mountain. So we just walked into the pub, and we're not looking that much different from anybody else that's in there. So,
well, that would
again,
make you happy. No fashion.
Absolutely.
Thing, right?
I just hate being judged for fashion, and I hate that being an element in human relationship development. There should be absolutely zero concern about what the person's wearing as opposed to who they are and getting into their headspace and greeting them with a smile. And we had a lot of smiles last night. We had a lot of friendly people interact with us, and I don't think for a second anyone really was concerned about what anyone was wearing, their footwear.
Well, I think that when it comes to, I mean, I think you need to qualify that statement and just saying, as long as people are clean and they're not stinky, you don't mind being around them. I think, you know, they can wear whatever they want. They can put stripes with plaid, with polka dots, and wear whatever hair, however they want. Corey's hair is growing longer now. You can wear whatever you want, but just as long as you're clean and smell good. I think that's an important part of fashion.
Well, that's also an important part of health. Health is hygiene, and there's a whole science that's associated with cleanliness and grooming and taking care of yourself. That goes without saying, but again, I would rather live with a stinky mountain man who was honest and noble and courageous and clean thinking and deep and sophisticated and philosophical and all that good stuff than some of the other people that I can think of in my head as an alternative.
I would too. I just have to have a nose plug, that's all.
Yeah, right. I understand. You're a female, dear. You've got that acute sense of smell. And that, unfortunately, is a disadvantage.
You better believe it is. Okay,
well, listen, that was a great update. It's great to be here, and I'm looking forward to spending another week with my brother and in the sun, and we're going to hike some more mountains. We're going to drive over to Banff, and what have you got planned?
Well, what I have planned is I'm going to meet my very first boyfriend from when
cool.
I was 15 years old. I haven't seen him since I was 15, and I'm 51 now, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, that's going to be very cool.
He's married and got 3 kids now, so no worries on that end.
Yeah, well, whatever. You know, we can always consider changes at any time.
Yes, right.
Well, I hope you have a nice time with him, and it'll be great to reminisce about old times in the Kootenays, and I'm sure you guys will have a lot of laughs.
I hope so.
Good stuff. Well, let's leave it at that. What is your final word?
My final word is by Mark Twain. If you pick up a starving dog and make him prosperous, he will not bite you. This is the principal difference between a dog and a man.